Hello, my name's Alan Wiley. This is my second podcast, and it's titled The Strange Death of Labour in Scotland. Labour used to own Scotland. For generations, it was their strongest heartland. It was where votes for Labour were weighed in rather than counted. It was where the old adage that even a donkey with a red rosette would be voted in was actually true. Yet in a blink of an eye, everything has changed. Labour, once the darlings of the working class in Scotland, are now viewed with sheer disgust. Their fall from grace has been dramatic. In 2010, Scotland voted in record numbers for Gordon Brown's Labour, yet 6 short years later, Labour find themselves so disregarded by the electorate in Scotland that they came behind the hated Tories in the 2016 Scottish parliamentary elections. A lot has been spoken about and written about Labour's demise in Scotland. And it's true that Labour's demise did not start with or end with the Scottish independence referendum. Their failure to stand up against Thatcherism in the 80s, the creation of New Labour in the 90s, and the advent of Blairism and militarism that gave us the Iraq War, were all events that did have a fundamental effect on their membership, but did not manifest itself in the ballot box. The numbers show that in 2007, 39.5% of the vote in Scotland, that's 922,000 votes, went to Labour. This actually increased to over 1 million votes in 2010, when Labour won 42% of the vote in Scotland. It was only in 2015 that Labour's vote dwindled from 42% to 24% of the vote in Scotland. Yes, there were other aspects at play here, specifically the rise in popularity of the SNP. But it was during this period between 2010 and 2015 that the catalyst for Labour's self-destruction occurred. I can remember to the day that I turned my back on Labour, or more to the point, the day that Labour turned their back on me. You see, I was a founding member of the No to Bedroom Tax campaign, and we were ultimately successful in convincing the Scottish Government to fully mitigate against the bedroom tax in Scotland. It was during this campaign that I was asked to speak at a rally that was outside the Scottish Tory Conference in Stirling. I can remember the day, it was beautiful, not a cloud in the sky. After the speeches and the rallies, a march around the streets. It was during this march that shocking news spread. All ordinary people, ordinary Scots, were outside the Scottish Tory Conference fighting for their survival while we were protesting against harmful Tory cuts. One of Labour's big chiefs, former Chancellor Alistair Darling, he was not standing shoulder to shoulder with us. Instead, he was given a speech and received a subsequent standing ovation by the same Tory conference that we were protesting against. Never in my life did I believe I'd see the day when a Labour MP would speak at a Tory conference, let alone get a standing ovation. Yet here it was, happening in front of my eyes. Alistair Darling's decision to speak at the Scottish Tory Conference was, to me, an unbearable betrayal. He represented Labour. Instead of standing up for their beliefs, they discarded the principles just to go hobnobbing with the Tories. And to carry this on to the independence referendum, to me, Labour standing shoulder to shoulder with the Tories during the interref, it may have been a little bit bearable if they hadn't stood shoulder to shoulder with the Tories in a fight against the bedding tax, if they hadn't stood shoulder to shoulder with the Tories on austerity, if they hadn't stood shoulder to shoulder with the Tories on public sector cuts. So all Better Together did to me was rub salts into my wounds and remind me that when I needed Labour the most, they betrayed me and took the side of the Tories. I suspect that every former Labour voter in Scotland has their own personal story about their journey away from Labour. And in most cases, I imagine, Labour's damage, it's self-inflicted. You see, voters in Scotland had a positive emotional attachment to Labour. And this attachment resulted in Scotland voting en masse for Labour for about 60 years. Now that emotional attachment is still there, but it's now negative. And that's the problem with Labour. Because it doesn't matter what policies they offer or who their Scottish leader is, and it certainly doesn't matter how autonomous they say they are. Nothing can overcome the visceral and deep dislike that former voters are feeling about Scottish Labour. And it's due to that that I believe we could well be witnessing the terminal decline of Labour in Scotland. And there's nothing, absolutely nothing, that Scottish Labour can do to redeem themselves in the eyes of the former voters. The referendum wasn't the catalyst for Labour's demise in Scotland. It was the straw that broke the camel's back. For too long, Labour had disregarded and turned its back on its own voters when their voters needed them the most. So it was only inevitable that when the tables were turned, that Labour voters would turn their back on a party that had disregarded them so long. And it's due to this that I think we're witnessing the strange death of Labour in Scotland.